Some priests start out every homily with a joke. I'm not that kind of priest, but today I just can't help myself. This was told to me, by the way, as a true story, so I don't think it's true, but you'll see why it'd be nice to believe it. There was a young woman. She was taking one of her college exams. She showed up late to the exam, missed the instructions, did the exam in the 2 hours it was usually a 2 hour class period, so she took it. And she, instead of finishing at 11 a.m., she finished at like 11:20 a.m. Walked up to the front, handed it to the professor, and he said, "I can't accept that. There's this, the professor's here, there's this table with the big stack of exams right here." And she just said, "Do you know who I am?" He's like, "Excuse me?" She's like, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the president's daughter. I don't care if you're the Queen of England. You can't turn it in." And she said, "That's what I thought." So she picked up half of the exams, slid her test in, and set them down and walked out. For the record, I choose to believe that's a true story. When we ask someone, "Do you know who I am?" we don't usually mean it like Jesus means it. Because our pride gets in the way. We are, in this story, the pride of the professor gets really provoked. And it makes him immediately less intelligent, immediately less responsive. He doesn't listen to what the person is really saying because his pride has been provoked. And when our pride gets provoked, we want to ask somebody, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who?" And Jesus, when he asks this question, it is so opposite to us. It is completely the other way around. But he does ask, "Who do people, who, what are people saying about me?" And Peter tells him, "Lord, they're saying that you're a prophet or that you're, Moses back from the dead." Interestingly, Jesus isn't interested in, he doesn't care what the crowds think. He goes to Peter and he says, "But you, who do you say that I am?" Which is the question that Jesus puts to every one of us. "Who do you say that I am?" The answers that Peter gave for the crowds, who do people say that the Son of Man is, are very similar to what people would say now. Jesus was a good moral teacher. He was a good prophet. He was, he did some good stuff. Jesus doesn't care about those answers. He presses further until Peter says what is on Peter's heart. And he says, "I know that you're the Lord, you're the Messiah, the Christ. You're the Son of God." That's a different kind of a thing to say. Because if I say Jesus is a great moral teacher, a great prophet, he was a good person, did some good things, he doesn't necessarily make any demands on my life. I don't need to follow him or obey him. But if I say that he's Lord and Messiah and the Son of God, then I do need to follow him. And I do need to obey his commandments. And Peter makes that statement and doesn't realize what he said, because then, like 5 seconds later, Peter takes Jesus aside. Peter takes Jesus aside. Jesus says, "I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die." What he's trying to explain to him is God's justice is going to be taken out upon himself, but they don't understand this yet. And that's the thing that he teaches us through the cross, is that our sins do have consequences, and that God actually will judge, that we're actually going to come before the judge and give an account. But when we talk about God and his justice and his mercy, there's a great mystery, because he takes on himself the just penalty for our sins. And so is it justice or is it mercy? God is like a judge. Imagine that you've just committed a crime. I don't know, let's say you stole some money, and I don't know how much money you'd have to steal to go to jail for 10 years, but whatever that would take. You're going to jail for 10 years, and the judge is about to throw down a gavel and sentence you. And you say, "Well, judge, I know I did steal that money, what would it be, a couple million dollars? I don't know. A couple million dollars, and you're going to jail for 10 years." I think you'd have to steal more than that, honestly. And you say, "But judge, I pay my taxes. I help old ladies cross the street." I even go to church. I'm a good person. And the judge is like, I'm sure you're a very good person. And I'm really glad that you helped old ladies cross the street and that you pay your taxes. I'm not sending you to jail for paying your taxes or for helping old ladies cross the street or for going to church. I'm sending you to jail for the money that you stole. But God is like a judge who, once the sentence is passed, he takes off his robes, walks down from the judge's seat, walks over to the bailiff, and says, put my hands in cuffs, I'm going to do his time. And then he does that for us. That's what the cross means. When Peter hears of this cross, he says to Jesus, he rebukes him. It says, Peter then took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Wow. And he's telling the Lord, perhaps in so many words, Lord, you're the judge. You can't come down and do the time. You can't be thrown in prison like a criminal. That's beneath you. You're the Messiah. He has this false triumphalism about what it means to be the Messiah. And he rebukes Jesus. Wow. I mean, Peter had great faith. He had just declared Jesus to be the Son of God. And then he turns around and does this. Because he has a lot of faith and he also has a lot of courage and just sometimes too many words. Jesus rebukes him in return and says, you don't understand what I'm doing. Because humility is the only way to really receive what I want to give you. That there is a power in the humility of the cross, that Jesus lowers himself to the point of being our servant. He washes our feet. He carries the cross with and for us. He dies on the cross for us. The Bible says, clothe yourselves in humility in your dealings with one another. Clothe yourselves in humility in your dealings with one another. You know when you're about to get into a contentious, you know you're going into a meeting and it might be kind of contentious and you want to like armor up and get your sword ready and be like, I'm ready. If they say this, I'm going to be like, boom. And if they say it's, I'm ready for whatever they're going to say against me. We try to armor up. But the Lord said, his word says, clothe yourselves in humility. And the way that we carry the cross with Jesus, the way that we follow him on the way, is that we clothe ourselves in this humility. If he lowered himself to the point of washing our feet and dying for our sins, if that was not beneath him, I can just see Peter saying, this is beneath you. What are you doing? And he says, no. No, I don't consider that to be true. Because I consider each and every one of you to be of infinite value to me. That's the kind of love that when we receive that, we are then called to offer that again. We are then called to follow Jesus on the way. Jesus, he says, I am the way and I'm the truth and the life. He is the way. He himself is the way. And if he is the way, he's also going to show us by what he does. And how do we follow him on the way? We imitate him. We do what he did. The humility of the cross, the way of the cross, Jesus carrying the cross. We follow Jesus. We become his disciples by imitating him in his humility, being humble as he was humble, and being patient with false accusations or being patient with whatever, however we might be treated. That being clothed with humility is so powerful. It's a power that the ways of the world can't compete with. The way of the world is strength and power, and I'm going to conquer you. And the way, God's way, is humility. And it's difficult, but it's actually more powerful because when we've received that kind of love, we know how deeply we are loved. And we're called then to follow Jesus, to imitate him in this way. As we carry the cross with him, we ask the Lord to fill our hearts with humility. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would allow each one of us to surrender to you our pride and our ego and our vanity and all the ways that we try to make things about ourselves. Jesus, we ask that you would fill us with a spirit of humility, that we would know how to love and to serve others because of the way that you have loved and served us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.